Welcome to Business Pulse Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brett. And Business Pulse is the heartbeat of business. We're here to help you understand operating a business, starting a business, how to raise capital, how to deal with investment bankers, how to deal with valuations for your business, and why are valuations important? How to start a business, how to deal with investors. Business Pulse is all about business all the time. Today we have an exciting show. We have a friend of mine, Rick Darnell, with us today. He's going to be talking about a wide variety of different business interests that he's involved with. But for all you basketball fans out there, I'm sure you know who Rick Darnell is. And for all you people listening to the show who are not basketball fans, we're going to do a little introduction with Rick. Rick, thank you for being here today.
No, thank you for having me here.
You're welcome. Let's start out again with your professional basketball career. What were your active years and what teams did you play for at the time?
Well, I started off at Cypress College, and then I went on to Indiana State. From that point on, I entered into playing for the Virginia Squires. Dr. J was there and played in the ABA for a year. And then the merging of the leagues kind of made it difficult for players because, you know, there's, you know, probably a couple hundred players who lost jobs that year when the ABA and the NBA merged. And so I bounced from Denver Nuggets to the Phoenix Suns, and then I was offered a very large contract to go over and play in Italy. And so I went to play in Italy for 1 year, thinking I was going to come back and play for the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, I was MVP over there for like three straight years, and ended up playing probably 10, 11 years over there. Loved it. Came back to the Clippers, one of my last years, and then broke my ankle and tore my Achilles. Oh. And at that point, got into a beer company with Fred Biletnikoff and Jack Youngblood and Jim Youngblood, and got into the business world.
Oh, excellent. The game a lot different today than it was when you were playing?
Extremely. It was so physical back in the days. I don't think some of the younger players that are playing in the league this year would be able to get up and down the court. The hand checking, the physical. If you went in for a layup, you got by a guy, you might get that layup the next time you'd be on the floor picking splinters out of your butt. But it's gotten a lot less physical, more transition game now.
So. Probably a lot of broken noses back in those days too, huh?
Awful lot.
Under the hoop?
I got those weekly.
I understand now that you're out of professional basketball as a player, that you're involved with the retired NFL Players Association. Tell us a little bit about that role.
Well, I'm now the president of the NBA Retired Players and LA chapter. And so what we do is we put on probably 8 to 10, maybe 15 events a year, going out and working with the inner city kids at risk, doing basketball camps, mentoring to them, and show them there's another way out. Just basically help them through life. And we're doing a lot with the Indian tribes. We do a lot with Sherman Indian High School. Met with Pechanga, Paula, Saboba, all the local tribes here too. And we're trying to do some great things. AC Green and I are very close. I'm working on a project at Sherman Indian High School, where it's a high school where there's 500 kids that are brought in from across the country. And us at Commissario and with AC Green and the retired players have been going out and making sure they're giving things from food to clothing and things to help them get through life.
Now, did your playing years or being involved with professional sports prepare you for going into business? And I know we're going to go into that in a few minutes. I know you're involved in several businesses, cannabis being one, tequila, which is with Elite Beverage. They've been on the show several times. I know we've got a lot of business interests, but let's, again, talk about the basketball. Did that kind of prepare you, give you some insights on how to conduct business?
You know, that's an interesting question. The biggest fear of being an athlete is what's going to happen to you when you retire. And my fear was like, okay, I minored in business, and when I get out of playing pro sports, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to enter into the corporate world? Because all my friends who I went to college with are now executives like that. They've been 10, 15 years, and they're really established in the industry. And now I'm from playing basketball, and now I'm trying to jump into that arena. And you're calling friends up and saying, hey, can you help me? I want to get a job. I'm going to be retiring soon. And they go, yeah, well, you're going to have to start off in the mailroom or whatever. And I'm going, how can I go be in the mailroom with the guys who used to be my fans? Yeah. You know, it was very hard to transition. Now we have groups of people that are helping players transition into the business sector, but it's tough. But you're always afraid. And the only reason I got into the beer business, I still had a few more years I could have played, but Fred Biletnikoff from the Oakland Raiders and Jack Youngblood came to me and says, we're starting this beer company. Would you like to get involved and be one of our partners? And I go, there, I finally got my opportunity. Now I know where I can jump out of pro sports and have a job and do something in life.
So it's all about networking, too. I mean, I talk about that on the show. Even if you're not in pro sports, you know, if you're in business, it's about networking, getting out there, shaking hands, going to meetings, and, you know, just making introductions yourself and being introduced by other people. Same thing it sounds like in your case.
Oh, definitely. And what I do is, as the president of the Retired Players LA chapter out here right now, is I put on probably 6 to 8 events during the year, and it's always networking with businessmen, because a lot of the guys were never taught how to network and really help yourself succeed. And I'm grooming the light. I feel myself as one of the master networkers. I've got a Rolodex that won't quit. And I learned that from one of my high school, my junior college coach, Tom Lubin. He always said that, when you're playing or after the game, you go out and meet these people. These are corporate America, and they're the guys who pay the tickets, who have the big corporations. And he says, so don't forget that, you know, that card. And he goes, after you got that card, right on the back, who he was. Was he the buyer? Was he the president of Albertsons, or was he the president of whatever the company that came along? And then send him a note afterwards and start building that Rolodex, because they were your fan on the court. And so when it comes the time that you need to bring a product or your company come into that industry, it's the easiest way is to go talk to somebody who was a fan of yours, who knows who you are, and you can build that bond at first and get that comfort level when you first start talking, and they'll open up a lot of doors for you.
I don't know if it's the same with professional basketball, but I've heard a lot of in the news, it's been lately, about professional football players who retire. I guess the numbers are staggering, like maybe 60 or 70% of them are bankrupt within 5 years after retiring from the sport, because they really didn't have, or they didn't take it seriously, I guess, when they were playing. They were making a lot of money, and they kind of thought the gravy train was going to continue on forever. So they really didn't have a mentor, if that's a word, or somebody kind of putting a structure together for them. That's professional football. Was it the same thing in professional basketball? Do a lot of them just blow everything when they retire?
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. It's more like 70-80% of the guys are bankrupt in the first 3 years. There's a couple of large organizations have investigated and found out that number is high, if not higher. And the biggest problem is you, in the old days, you have agents who handled everything aspect of it. Now, the world has changed, where you have an agent, you have an attorney, you have an investment banker, you have a marketing group. Before, it was all under one roof, and your agent took a piece of everything and put a lot of guys in bad spots. And I have a couple incidents where I have some really highly thought of players that I had to, in the last 4 or 5 years, had to talk to them. And I'm saying, their financial advisor is coming to me and saying that they're broke. And I go, what do you mean you're broke? And he goes, he is broke. He goes, you need to help me to talk to him. He's spending way too much money. And I go, what's going on? Well, he's got 10 guys who are his little entourage, which is the big thing now in pro sports. You have all these guys who went to high school with you and did all these wonderful things, bought you hamburgers and Cokes and took you to practice. And now in return, they're expecting brand new cars and new houses and all this stuff, because they help you get there. And I'm trying to educate the guys that there's a few of their friends, and they did this for a reason. Some of them really cared about you, but sometimes just like wanted to be around you. But they really abused some of the players. And one of the players was, he had probably about $30,000 to $40,000 a month, was just going to his entourage, who was spending his money on using his cars as food. And when they would go out, they would buy the whole, Club Cristal or one of the big brand cigar and just been broke. And I actually asked them to do me a favor, and I told them to tell them they're broke and they're all living with your house back east, and tell them they can't use it. They use the car, they use their own gas, they won't use the cars, that they pay their insurance, and tell them for 30 days. And I go, after that 30 days, find out what happens then. And the first night, a couple of guys got in fights because of that situation, because he didn't pay the bill. And at the end of it, he had two kids left in his house. And it was a fight almost every night because he wouldn't cough up that money. And last night, he called me up. He goes, I got trouble. One guy is leaving. He ain't going to put up no more. He's trying to borrow money. And, you know, he's very upset with me. And the other guy asked me for my bank account number.
Oh,
and I go, what did he want your bank account number? Because he inherited some money and he wanted to give it to me. I go, there's your real friend.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find out your real friends when you get to this level.
So they all start jumping ship, and when the money starts drying up or you turn the tap off, they jump ship. Let's get into your businesses now. And I understand that, or I know firsthand that you're involved with Elite Beverage, which is based in Anaheim Hills, and their flagship product is Tequila Commissario. You're a founding partner of that organization. Just give us some insight on how you got involved with the tequila business and with Tequila Commissario specifically.
All right. Well, it kind of goes back to like when I got involved with Fred Biletnikoff and that beer company. I learned at an early age with them is packaging is so important and selling a product to get out on the shelf. And we were at the, I think 2011 or 2012, NBA All-Star Game. Me and Julius Erving, Dr. J, was hosting a after party of the All-Star Game. And I had a lot of different sponsors with a lot of different products, alcohol, cognac, everything you can imagine was in that room. And I was walking around, and a very close friend and my founding partner, Steve Rice, was there. And everybody kept raving about this tequila. And they go, Rick, you got to try this. Tori Coffer, her father, played for the Dodgers, and says, Rick, this is fabulous. And so I get over to it, and I'm looking at it, I go, wow, what a beautiful packaging. I go, I got to try this. I'm not, you know, I'm used to the old days of the not so good tequilas.
Yeah.
I don't want to say any names. There's still a lot out there, but
yeah.
And so I went over and I tasted the añejo, the blanco, the rapo, and then the añejo, and it was really beautiful. And it was almost like a cognac. It had such a creamy, beautiful taste. It was a sipping tequila. And I go, this is one of the best tequilas I've ever tasted in my life. And all the other players, which a lot of the ball players are experts at this stuff, all that the line was going out the door trying to get this tequila. And so then I spoke to the people in charge, and got to the owner of the tequila company of Commissario, cut a deal with him to suddenly help me bring it to the next level. He was struggling a little bit how to get it to market, and me and Steve had taken it on, and we've won every major contest out there on tequilas, you know, comparing them against other blind taste and all these big names of the Don Julios and the Patrons and stuff like that. I will stand up to our product to any of them, and I'm always a winner. That's what you play with pro sports, and I know I'll be a winner with this product too, because it's just fabulous. We've got a great package and a great product with inside.
You're listening to Business Pulse Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brett. I have my very special guest with me today, Rick Darnell, ex-professional basketball player and businessman now with Elite Beverage International and their flagship product, Tequila Commissario. You're also, we'll transition, this show, I guess, is always about getting high on something, either alcohol or weed or cannabis or whatever. But I've just got to transition into this, and we'll get back to the tequila in a minute. But You are very instrumental in the cannabis business as far as licensing or obtaining licenses. You're working with the retired association to get medical cannabis into the allowing players to use it without being reprimanded or fired or whatever. So let's talk about that. First off, how did you get into the cannabis business?
It was about 5 years ago. I minored in special ed in when I was in college. And 5 years ago, somebody said to me, you got to look at this 2020 or 60 minute thing that they're having on TV. It's about CBD and kids and stuff like that. And I go, oh, okay, whatever. Okay, I'll look at it. And so I looked at this, and I was looking at this little girl. Twin girls had, one of them was having no seizures, and the other girl was having 300 seizures around that a day. And I was kind of amazed, and I go, where's this going? I'm really, you know, caring about this, feeling for this girl. And then her father was fighting for the doctors to subscribe her marijuana. And it was really CBD, and it's a form of that cannabis products. There's marijuana, there's cannabis. There's cannabis is the medical part. And so I watched this documentary, and next thing you know, this girl starts taking the CBD. It's called Charlotte's Web, a form of that CBD. And she went down to one seizure a day.
From 300 to, oh, wow, okay.
And I'm like in shock, and I'm going, wow, there must be something good in this product. And I start looking into it. I know there's a really bad problem with the NBA with opiate addiction, which is ridiculous. I argue with the NBA and local governments and stuff like that for a long time because, you know, when the guys retire, they're handed off to me here in LA, and a lot of them are addicted to opiates, and nobody cares about that. And they're wondering why. I was just talking to in a golf tournament with Christian Nkoy and Ron Brown and a couple other NFL guys, and Brian Leaf is like a superstar in their eyes because nobody realized the trouble that Brian had when he was the quarterback of the Chargers, like that he was so addicted to opiates that he was losing not all concussions and the opiate problem, that he got a little lost and he was out of control. Mm-hmm. And it was all caused by the pro sports because they just need to have you feeling good to go out there and play on the field because you're a piece of meat. Didn't really care for the guys. And so I started working with the Dr. Piamelli over here at UC Irvine, some great doctors I've gotten involved with. And we're actually now trying to create a CBD product that will actually help with pain management. We're doing pain management kits. It's Vivera is the name of the company. I'm trying to help Paul and them out. Wonderful people. But they're getting kits that actually are going into rehab situations. SOBA is a big rehab center, and they partnered up, and now they're doing case studies. They got AJ McLean from the Backstreet Boys and different things like that, Miss America, and they're actually coming out with this great product that's actually dosage, it's sublingual product. Take this tab melt, and it's 2 minutes, it's in your system. It's not, no side effects, no nothing, and they have a cream there for the pain to help stop the pain, and they're having unbelievable success. And you don't need all the pharmaceutical opiate stuff that really causes all the problems.
Yeah.
And so I've gotten really heavily involved with that and getting licensing, working with the people in charge of California and some other people. We go out and get the applications to make sure people do it properly, correctly, and get their license for them.
So the licensing would be if somebody wants to open up a dispensary?
Dispensary, whatever the city is. We have a group of people. One of my partners writes those applications for a company called Green Rush and himself, Cushman Greenfield. And we just go in and write the applications. And it's very competitive, so you have to write the application so they do a points, they grade it on points. So you make sure that you've checked every box and made sure the applications are filled out correctly.
So it's not something that somebody can do themselves. They're starting out trying to get a dispensary. They really need to deal with a professional organization, somebody that knows how to fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, there's a lot of people do try it and majority of them do fail because the experts, there's little things in there that you, little caveats is, do you have somebody member from the community involved in your company? It goes into the race. How many other, do you have any other minorities involved? Each one of those little things add points to your system, how you get those applications done.
Now, do you do, do you work out of California in different states, different countries?
Yeah, it's actually my partner, Sam. He's all across the country. I think he was just last week. It was in Missouri. Now they're going to Illinois. We're going to Arkansas. We've got applications in Maryland, Philadelphia, Ohio, Florida, Nevada, California, Oregon, on and on. And then when we first started this, we were trying to think outside the box, which I'm really good at times. And we went after and got a license in Uruguay. We just got our second license in Denmark. And then we're going to Germany. We're almost finished with Germany. And then we're putting out two licenses in Greece.
Aside from just helping companies get the licensing, do you step in and help them run the business, the dispensary? Do you have a team to do that? Or
we do all the compliance to make sure they stay legal. And we always stay on board and take a piece of the company because the laws are ever-changing. You know, you can be completely correct tomorrow on your company, and the following day they change the law. And if you continue not make those corrections, you'll lose your license. So we stay on board to help that. And
you help them with, I've had some exposure to it. I've taken a couple of companies public in the cannabis space in Canada, and I've gotten them a dual listing down here. So understand that a lot of them are having banking issues also. So do you help them along with that? We've got about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we're trying to find the secret. I don't think anybody really has that secret yet, but we work with Diane Goldstein with LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. She's been sitting on panels trying to get the government convinced to change this law, and hopefully that's coming real soon.
Excellent. I want to mention while we're on the topic of cannabis, before we started this show, I got an email from a business associate of mine that has a fund that finances cannabis companies also. And if you're an established cannabis company with revenue, anywhere from $2 to $5 million. So anybody listen to this show, if you want information on that investment capital, send me an email at MikeBrett@gmail.com, MikeBrett@gmail.com, and I'll get you some information. Mike Brett is BRETTE@gmail.com, and I'll get you that information. And Rick, give us your contact information for people, phone number, email, whatever's best.
Okay, my phone number is 714-493-4513. Also, too, you get me at rick.darnell0610@gmail.com. And I want to throw one other thing in with our tequila company right now. We have guys like Michael Cage, who's the announcer for Oklahoma Thunder, is involved with us. AC Green is involved with us. I'm doing some other things with him, too. Keith Erickson, Norm Nixon's involved with us. Kiki Vanderway. I've got a lot of top-quality professional athletes who believe. And I'm not paying these guys. They believe in our tequila company, Commissario.
Are they helping with the branding, the marketing? What's their role in this?
Branding, marketing, networking to other distributors and stuff like that. Doing bottle signings. We're going to be doing as soon a bottling signing at High Times. I think there'll be one a month for the next 3 months coming up right now. We've brought in Keith, Chris Young, country western singer. I think he's going to be Costco in, I think it's August 12th. I'm not sure the exact date yet. He's doing another one in Colorado, but we're bringing some really big artists, celebrities that are very highly, respected and love our product.
And give us your contact information one more time in case people tuned in the last, the telephone number, email address.
Okay, so that's 714-493-4513. And then you can also meet me at rick@elitebeverage.com or rick.darnell0610@gmail.
Excellent. You've been listening to Business Pulse Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brett. We bring you this show every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific time here on OC Talk Radio. And again, the show is all about business all the time. We're here to introduce you to entrepreneurs like Rick Darnell that help professional athletes transition from sports into business, just like Rick did. We're here to introduce you to starting your own business. If you have a business, we'll help you grow the business. If you're trying to find investment capital, we'll show you how to do it legally, structurally offering the SEC and the state's regulatory boards want. We're going to talk about valuations on some other shows. Why are valuations important to investors? Why should you care? So we're going to cover a lot of news that you can use, again, to start a business and grow a business. Again, Business Pulse Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Brett. Every Tuesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time here on OC Talk Radio. Thank you.